Taking our seats, let's please turn to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We're going to consider tonight what is recorded for us there in the verses 41 through to the end of the chapter. I was saying this morning that the Bible is a book written by a father for his children. And God, the supreme author, knows how pictures serve well to get across the truth. And we are but children, and we like the pictures, the illustrations, just as much as little ones. And the Bible is full of pictures. And in the incident that is recorded in the verses 41 through to 52, we have a picture. And we're going to consider that tonight. But before we do so, please, let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, as I seek to carry out that most solemn duty, O God, of preaching the Word of God, I pray for the grace of the Holy Ghost to be granted to me. Help me, Lord, to so preach Thy Word as to present to the folks gathered here the message of God. Lord, we would not add one word of our own to that which is set forth here. We would not add our interpretation, O God, but rather seek to interpret Scripture by Scripture for the benefiting of the folk here. Help me then, Lord, to preach Christ. And if there's one unsaved, or one that needs a word from the Savior tonight, in this gathering, Lord, speak. Oh, we would ask for nothing more, for there could be nothing more we could ask for, nothing higher that we could seek, than to be used of God to reach a soul. Hear us now and bless us, I ask, O God. Help me by Thy Spirit now. Fill me, O God, with Your power. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. This chapter actually contains quite a bit of history. History concerning the Savior, the Lord Jesus. It takes us from just before His birth, right through until He was 12 years of age. And it gives us little glimpses into His life during that period. It tells us about His birth in Bethlehem, where He was laid in a manger. There was no room in the inn for Him, no room for Mary or for Joseph. The place was crowded out. And I'd say they were of poor means. And they could not, by flashing silver and gold, persuade the innkeeper to find for them a room. They were poor people. I'm sure they were glad to find shelter, even if it was amongst the animals. I'm sure Joseph was glad that they could have a roof over their head. Then we're taken forward a little, told about the Savior being brought to the temple when He was 8 days old, that the law of God concerning every male child might be fulfilled in Him. And then we go, in the next verse, a little forward still. And we find them back at the temple. Now, some 40 days have passed since His birth. And Mary is there, to fulfill the law that she is required to fulfill as the mother of a male child. We were looking at that incident this morning because that's the occasion that Simeon met the Lord Jesus and took him up in his arms. Now we go forward some 12 years. And this is the only time, apart from those early days of his infancy, right up until he was full grown and mature, as a man being about 30, this is the only time we have a glimpse of Christ in that period of some 30 years. Here's the one break in that silence, in that covering over of the life of the Lord Jesus during those early 30 years. The one occasion we're allowed to see something. He's 12 years of age. He's taken up to Jerusalem at that greatest of all the Hebrew feasts, the Feast of the Passover. Springtime. A lovely time in Israel in particular. I had the privilege earlier this year of being out in Israel just a little after the Passover. And how beautiful the land looked, because flowers were on display everywhere. Harvest was actually being reaped. They have such a wonderful climate, they have two harvests. And the harvest was actually being reaped when we were there. The barley harvest and then the wheat harvest. And mind you, when we were there, we thought of those occasions in which the Passover is mentioned. And this particular occasion came to our mind as well. 12 years of age. Now, as I said this morning, what happened when Simeon came into the temple and saw the Savior somewhat contrasts with what happens here in the verses 41 through to the end of the chapter. In the case of Simeon coming into the temple, there is a closing with Christ. But in the verses that we're going to look at tonight, there's a separating from Christ. And God, in giving us this picture of the Lord Jesus being separated from Mary and from Joseph for a period of 3 days, God giving us this picture serves, I believe, to show to us the dangers of backsliding, the dangers of losing contact, losing fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so much here that we can learn, and I trust that God will help us to understand and to grasp what it is he says to us. First thing I want you to notice is the danger of losing Christ's company. Sometimes we can be very confident regarding our spiritual walk with God, our spiritual standing. We can almost unconsciously begin to say within us, I am so secure in my walk with God that there is just no danger of me ever backsliding. I have heard many a person who, commenting on someone who has backslidden, say, I don't know how they did it. I could never do that. That's a dangerous state to be in. That's a dangerous state to be in. You're filled with a self-confidence. You're filled with a sense of self-security that actually leaves you very much open to danger. Here we have set before us very clearly the danger of losing Christ's company, of drifting away from him. and not even noticing that the drift has taken place. Let's remember that Mary and Joseph lost the company of Christ on this occasion, and it happened after the most important spiritual feast in the Jewish year. It happened at the Passover. That time when, spiritually speaking, the atmosphere amongst the Jewish people was at its highest, was at its warmest, when their minds were filled with the things of God, with memories of the mercies of God to them as a people, as they thought upon the glorious deliverance out of Egypt. Here was Israel, probably at its best spiritual condition, and yet that's when Mary and Joseph lost fellowship with Christ. They were frequent attenders, faithful attenders at the Passover. It says in verse 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." And if you care to remember the narrative earlier in the chapter, you will remember how often we read that what they did was in accordance with the law. They brought the infant Jesus to the law, to the temple, to be circumcised according to the law. And Mary came at the end of 40 days after the birth of Christ that she might offer a sacrifice for her purification according to the law. There can be no question that Mary and Joseph were faithful followers of the Lord, devout believers, obedient to the law of God. And yet they, at that chief of feasts, lost fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened at the center of worship. They lost them at the temple. It was there that they were parted from him. At the temple. You would think that would be the last place that they would lose fellowship, lose company with Christ, and yet that's where it happened. That's where it happened. You know, my friends, we are never in greater danger from being tempted away from the Lord than when we have just had a mountaintop experience with him. You remember Elijah? And this is illustrative of this truth. He had just seen the power of God at work on Mount Carmel. The fire of God come down. He had seen the prophets of Baal judged and slain according to the word, the law of God. He had seen his prayers answered and rain come after 3.5 years. And yet, the very next day, we see him losing out with God, fleeing from Jezebel, trembling and fearful. I tell you, you're never in greater danger than when you have just had a mighty experience of God's blessing and power. That's when the devil moves in. That's when the flesh begins to move and glory and take pride in what it is we have just experienced. And we can, from the mountaintop, fall right down into the valley in a moment. It was at the feast of the Passover. It was in the very temple itself that this breach between Mary and Joseph, and the Christ of God took place. I'll tell you something else. It was a breach between the Savior and two people who probably loved him more than any. Who could have loved the Lord Jesus more than Mary and Joseph? Who could have loved them more? They had 12 years of watching him, observing him. And I have no doubt that everything they saw about this wonderful person caused them to love him more. And yet they lost fellowship with him. They had already been through the terrible experience of the attack of Herod. Sometimes, you know, people get the whole sequence of the gospel account of the Lord Jesus completely wrong. They're inclined to think that the wise men who came from the east looking for the one born king of the Jews came to Bethlehem, and that the star that guided them stood over the cattle shed at Bethlehem. But that's entirely wrong. You lose the story altogether if that's what you think. No. The wise men came long after Mary and Joseph had left Bethlehem, I believe. They were no longer living in lodgings, as it were, but had moved to another home, a permanent home. The Lord Jesus was likely about 2 years of age when the wise men came. That's why Herod killed all the children of 2 years and under. Because he had asked the wise men, when did you see the star? And according to the information given to him by the wise men as to when it was they saw the star and when they began their journey, Herod calculated that the one who was born king of the Jews must be nearly 2 years of age. And therefore, if I am going to make sure that I kill him, I'll kill all children in the area 2 years and on. And they had passed through this. Mary and Joseph had passed through this terrible time when they had been warned by God of what it was that would take place, and they had to flee down into Egypt, taking their child with them, knowing that he was the subject of Herod's hatred. That would have strengthened the bond between Mary and Joseph and the child. They would have loved their little one all the more as a result of that experience. And yet, they who loved them so much lose fellowship with them in the temple at the feast of the Passover. I don't care what your spiritual privileges are or how long you have been on the path as a pilgrim or how well you know the Lord or how well you know your Bible. You are in danger of losing Christ's company. It can happen to you. You can backslide. You can backslide. Let's notice the fact that the backsliding took place without any great display of turning of the back on God or any great manifestation of an about turn in the life. We're told in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days of the feast, as they returned, The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They had already lost contact with the Savior at this very moment. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. So the whole tragedy of losing Christ developed very quietly. Nobody noticed it happening. Certainly, Mary and Joseph didn't notice it happening. The loss had been incurred. The breach had taken place and was in existence for a time before they realized that they had lost the company of the Lord Jesus. Well, you're in danger, my friend. Danger of losing Christ, and it can happen very quickly, very quietly, without really you noticing it, because your attention has been diverted. Your attention has been turned from Christ and it's set on something else. You know, on my way here tonight, in fact, I wasn't 30 seconds on the journey here tonight until my attention was distracted. Turning just out of our own driveway. And it's a turn that you have to take a careful balance between going out far enough not to rub the pillar and also watching for traffic that just comes up over a hill not too far from us. So you want to get in again to your own side of the road just as quickly as you can. And if you don't have the right balance between those two observations, you can be in trouble. And for a moment, just for a moment, I was distracted tonight. And I just kept a little bit too close to the pillar. That's another story. But oh, how easily you can be distracted. And now I come to the second point. What distress that distraction can cause. What distress came to Mary and Joseph as a result of losing Christ's company. First of all, as a result of losing the Savior, we read in verse 45, and when they found them not, they turned back again. The first thing that losing Christ cost Mary and Joseph was the company of godly people. They were returning from Jerusalem in the company with all those who had been up there. Good people, godly people. Up to Jerusalem to keep the feast of the Lord. But as a result of losing contact with the Lord Jesus, Mary and Joseph were parted from this good company. That's the first evidence of backsliding. You begin to move away from the company of God's saints. You begin to find yourself moving in circles that are not associated with the Lord. During the period of searching, where might not Mary and Joseph have gone as they thought of what places in their imagination the Lord Jesus could have gone to? And in a great city like Jerusalem, there would have been many of the places. The mark, the place where animals are bought and sold, where goods are on display, where food is to be had, where business is conducted. I'm sure they searched those areas, mingled with those folk. many of whom I'm sure had little time for the things of God.
Maybe they moved towards the camp where the Roman soldiers were. They might have thought that a young 12-year-old would be fascinated to see soldiers parading, going through their duties. And so they went there. That would have taken them into rough company. Oh, where would not Mary and Joseph have gone during that time of searching when they lost the company with the Lord? And in consequence, they lost company with the pious pilgrims who had just been up to Jerusalem. They lost time. They lost time. They wandered around for 3 days, making no progress, as it were. Day and night for those 3 days, they just lost time. How pointless the life becomes when we lose out with God and we lose fellowship with Christ. We might think we're going forward. We might think we're advancing. But in truth, we're going nowhere. We're like the prodigal son in the far country, brought there by ambition, brought there by dreams of great advancement. But all he did was waste his life and what he had in that far country, separated from his father. And Mary and Joseph, separated from the Lord Jesus, lost the time that they were separated. You can't make anything of life without Christ. You young folk, please, please listen to what I say. You cannot make anything of your life without Christ. You cannot. Just as Mary and Joseph wasted 3 days as a result of losing company with Christ, their journey homeward was interrupted. And again, it caused them the loss of peace of mind and heart. In fact, in the verse 48, when Mary comes into the presence of the Lord Jesus, when they find him, she says to him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." She indicates the sorrow that she had experienced as a result of losing the Savior, the grief of heart. And let me show you just what it is that Mary said, what her word sorrowing means. If you turn to Luke chapter 16, and there in the verse 24, you have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Both die. The rich man goes to hell. And it says in verse 24, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And the word "tormented" there is the same word that Mary uses. She is saying to the Lord Jesus, "We have sought thee tormented." You know, the nearest a Christian can experience of hell is the misery they bring on themselves when they backslide. When they drift away from God, they lose the company and presence of God and the comforts that His presence and company brings. That's the nearest Christian that you and I can come to hell. Our soul is tormented. Our mind is tortured by doubts and fears and dreads. Nothing is sure. Nothing is certain. All is dark. Oh, picture in your mind this woman frantically searching. And just remember, that's what it is to be a backslider. When you lose the presence of the Lord, and you're robbed of the peace and the joy that His presence brings. This is the distress that comes from losing the company of Christ.
Isaiah chapter 26 and the verse 3 tells us that thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's the lot. That's the portion of the one who walks with God. Perfect peace. The Psalm 23 paints a picture of that peace. Where the shepherd, the good shepherd, leads us in green pastures beside the still waters. What a picture. What an idyllic scene. What more could the sheep want? Green pastures, still waters. Peace, tranquility, rest, security. But that's not the portion of those who drift away from the Lord. The sheep that goes off on its own, out on the mountains, wild and bare, far from the tender shepherd's care. And Joseph and Mary were like the lost sheep during those 3 days, fearful, trembling, tormented, tortured, because they're separated from the Lord. That's the portion of the backslider. That's the danger that faces each one who is a Christian. Let me just conclude by noting with you how if I'm speaking to someone tonight who has drifted from God, you're not in the relationship with God that once you were. You're not in the company of God's people as once you were. The prayer meeting, the Sabbath services, the outreaches, those meetings that you could be attending but you just don't bother to attend. You show up on a minimal number of occasions. You just maintain a link with the house of God that will stop people actually saying they have departed. They've totally backslidden. They've gone back into the world. But while you might maintain something of the appearance of going on with God, you know you're not going on with God. And if that is the case, then will you please learn from Mary and Joseph how to go about recovering your relationship with God. Notice how that Mary and Joseph for one day have not been giving the proper attention to the Savior or the proper thought to him. They supposed him to have been in the company with their friends. They didn't see him. They weren't sure that he was there. They just supposed that he was there. When the subject came up, Mary may have said to Joseph, or Joseph may have said to Mary, you know, maybe we should go and just make sure. But they didn't. They just said, I'm sure he's all right. And so for a day, they went on their homeward journey. And Christ wasn't with them. But then at night, when they had to do something very definite about finding where he was, because they would have wanted him to sleep with them. They would have wanted his presence to be with them during the night hours. So they go looking for him. And nobody knows where he is. They discover he's not in the company. What do they do? Well, I spoke to you this morning about the shepherds who, after the angels told them that the Savior was born in Bethlehem, as soon as the angels withdrew, the shepherds said, let us go now. Let us go now and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. Immediate action was called for. Well, in like fashion, Mary and Joseph, once they discovered that they had lost the company of Christ, began immediately to take steps to recover his presence. It says in verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again. They turned back. Oh, here's what's needed. A turning. A turning back. A turning back. Psalm 80 is all about turning back. What a marvelous psalm it is. It's the psalm of the one who has become conscious of the fact that they have lost out with God. And you find repeated through the Psalm 80 this prayer, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. The backslider, if he's serious about going once more into the presence of God and recovering for himself the enjoyment of God, must turn back. He must turn back. He has started on a path that's wrong. He's on a road that is not to God's pleasing. And he must get off it. And he can only get off it by turning back. I think that that's something we all need to think about in us. We all need to think about it turning back. If we're genuine when we say, Lord, revive us again. If we're genuine when we say, there is not the blessing of God amongst us that used to be. If we really mean that, then we must know that we have to turn back. Because the road we are on has taken us away from the blessing that once we knew. And we've got to go back. It's no good going on. We're not going to find God on this road. Mary and Joseph were not going to find the Lord Jesus by going on without Him. They had to turn back. I believe that that's the need of the hour in all of our lives, of being brought to that place. Turn us, O God. Cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. Mary and Joseph turned back. And they turned back and began to seek Him, it says, verse 45. They turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him. Looking for Him. Looking for Him. Oh, what they must have went through as they searched. And yet that searching is all part of the providential dealings by God with the wanderer. I've often thought about the journey from the far country back to the Father's house that the prodigal took. He would have passed many a familiar sight and thought of how he had seen that place on his outward journey. And now, being wiser, he would have thought how foolish were the thoughts that he entertained when he went away from his Father's house. That's something God has to teach us. God has to teach us how foolish our whole backsliding was. He's got to ingrain that in us. He has got to burn it into our souls. In the book of Hosea, the chapter 5 and the last verse of the chapter, the verse 15, God says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. God leaves his people to stew in their own juices in order to teach them the folly of their backsliding. In order to teach them a lesson and make them realize that in him alone is found comfort and joy and peace and contentment. And for 3 days, Mary and Joseph searched. What agonies they went through, what despairings they went through, what self-reproach they would have gone through, how they would have scolded themselves and reproached themselves that they had ever been careless concerning him. Oh, that's what we need to learn. It needs to be brought home to us. How foolish backsliding is. They search for him. And finally they come to that place where they had last seen him. That's where you'll always find the Lord, dear backslider, where you left him. Where you left him. It speaks of his mercy. It speaks of his faithfulness. It speaks of his kindness. That he is thus to be found where we left him. Mary and Joseph in their searching Well, it took them 3 days to finally come to thinking about, well, where did we last see him? In the temple. And that's where you'll find the Lord. You see, that's where we leave him. That's where we leave the Lord when we backslide.
Because backsliding is going away from the temple. Like the prodigal. He went away from his father's house. Where did he find his father? In his house.
When we depart from the Lord, we depart from his ordinances. We depart from the place of prayer. We depart from the place where God's people gather around the feet of Jesus.
And if we're going to find the Savior again, we've got to come back
to that one place that he has found. We've got to come back. They found him in the temple. They found him in the temple. And for you and for me, we'll find the Lord just where we left. For the Free Presbyterian Church, good to see him. We'll find the Lord where we left him. Where we headed off on our own. Where we departed from him. Where we began to listen to other counsel. To other voices. We'll find the Lord just where we left. If you have backslidden. If tonight you have lost out. Then I urge you, like Mary and Joseph, come back to the place you lost the company of the Lord. It's interesting just to notice in closing, though Mary had not yet learned everything and was rather foolish in how she reproached the Lord Jesus and was blaming him for the breach, and said unto him, verse 48, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. You have caused this breach. You have caused us all this trouble. But that wasn't the case. Mary was completely wrong. But how gently the 12-year-old answers. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? I haven't moved away from the heart of my father's business. I have not neglected my duty. And if you lost me, the neglect was on your part. And then it says, verse 51, And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And was subject unto them. What a picture that is. The Lord Jesus reunited by this wandering, or with this wandering mother and Joseph, reunited with them, is subject to them. He serves them. And you know, my friend, that's the glorious relationship that exists between God and his people. If you walk with God, he will serve you. Just as the Lord Jesus was subject to Mary and Joseph, the glorious thing is that our God serves those who walk with him. When the Lord Jesus got down and washed the disciples' feet, they were astonished. Peter rejected and resisted. But in truth, that's what happens. That's what it is to walk with God. It is to be served by him. After all, the sheep are served by the shepherd. That's what Psalm 23 teaches us. He leads us. He guards us. He provides for us. He looks after us. That's what you throw away, my friend, when you backslide. You throw away the care and the protection, the looking after us that God engages in when we walk in His fellowship. Oh, tonight, if the Lord has touched your heart, challenged you about this issue, then hasten back again to the Lord Jesus. Hasten back again, I say. Be reunited with Him and walk with Him once more and enjoy His ministration. May the Lord bless His word to our heart for Jesus' sake. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this beautiful picture that is a warning to us and also a blessed encouragement to any who have strayed. Oh, I pray, Lord, bless Your word to the healing of any here tonight who have backslidden or strayed in the least. Lord, bring us all back again to the fullness of fellowship with Thee. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.